We're here today talking with Bill Meltzer of PhiladelphiaFlyers.com and Hockey Buzz. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the issues facing hockey and how the Flyers are doing. So, Bill, welcome today. And first thing we want to talk about is this whole thing of replay and how it's interrupting the flow of the game somewhat. And do we have to maybe address that in the offseason? Does the competition committee have to sit down and kind of fine-tune this a little bit?
Well, particularly with goaltender interference, you know, it's gotten to a point where, you know, you can look in the rule book, and there are things, and goaltender interference is Rule 69, and it's a long rule. I mean, there's all kinds of subsets of the rule, and there are facets of it that, you know, if you look at it logically, they can contradict themselves sometimes, you know, like. You know, if there's incidental contact, then you have to look, was the contact inside the blue paint or outside the blue paint? If it's inside the blue paint, even if the goalie initiates contact, as long as it's in the act of trying to establish a position to make a save, there's a lot of judgment that's in there. So a lot of times you get these really marginal kind of contact plays, you know, and where does it fit in? And I think a lot of times even officials themselves aren't necessarily sure where it fits in. So you end up with these interminable delays. It almost makes sense to challenge it because often seems to be at least a chance that it gets overturned. So I think that, I think that simplifying the rules, you know, and I'm friendly with longtime NHL referee Paul Stewart. And Paul was trained by John McCauley and by Frank Udvari and some of the, you know, great referees of the past. And one of the things they always came back to is, why does the rule exist? And I mean, rules, for the most part, they boil down to preventing a team from gaining an unfair advantage. So you can look at it, you can look at a play with goaltender interference, and it comes down to, did this affect the goal being scored? Yeah. You know, and I mean, there's always judgment that's involved in that, but I do think there's way too many delays, you know, and it needs to be simplified. That's what it comes down to.
It takes away, in my opinion, the flow of the game. Everyone argues, well, the games aren't that much longer, but that doesn't make any difference in terms of whether the game ends at 9:30 or 9:35. It's whether or not there's flow to the game. And for instance, when a team is 1-1 in the third period and a goal is scored and everyone, the home building is going crazy, then you have to sit there and wait for 3 minutes. It just sort of takes the air out of the building.
100%. And we could go back to, you know, about, well, there was a Stanley Cup goal that was, you know, that involved that. Yeah, absolutely. And, it was the toe in the crease rule that did Brett Hull skate really? Did that affect the goal being scored? No, but by the way, the rules were called at the time that it should have been disallowed. But and all that time, there would always be there were all these delays. Okay, was there a skate in the crease? And it would kill the flow of play. Once you start up again, you know, that's the whole part of the beauty of hockey is that time in between the whistles. You know, when it's all dead time and you're just waiting, you know. You're waiting to react a second time to it. It does. It hurts the game.
And we've seen this in the NFL now. There's an outcry that they're going to have to review or have to go over this rule of everything is being reviewed, sidelines, touchdowns and all. And it slows the game down to a crawl, you know, and we don't want to become that, do we?
No, not at all. And I think there's also, you know, it also takes the human element out of it, too. You know, I think you end up looking for, you end up splitting hairs. And we didn't even get into the offside rules, but that's another one. You know, was the skate just on the ice, or is it hovering over the blue line, or whatever? You know, and it takes some of the beauty out of the game, as I say it.
Let's switch gears and go over to the Flyers here, and it's really it's hard to get a read on this crew because they're either in the process of losing or not winning in 10 straight games, and then winning 6 in a row. And, you know, maybe they're not as bad as that 10-game streak, and maybe they're not as good as this 6-game streak. But maybe talk about some of the things that have caught your eye in the last month or so as far as where this team is headed.
I think that even over the course of the 10-game winless streak, you know, there were elements of what you want to see from a team that wins consistently. You know, now we're recording this right after the Flyers played LA, and they didn't have a very good game at 5-5 that night. But over the course of the season, the Flyers went into that game having allowed the fewest 5-on-5 goals in the league. I mean, that's an area they really wanted to improve this year. And, you know, last night accepted, maybe the game in Pittsburgh accepted. You know, they've done that for a large part. That'll keep you in games.
Yeah.
You know, but there were. You know, you can't look at a 10-game winless streak and just say, okay, we're playing well enough to win, because there were things that kept popping up, right? Bad third periods, penalty killing breakdowns. I mean, you know, in a league where there's so much parity, things like that will cost you games. And, you know, I think the Flyers have made strides in that area over the course of the season, but you have to put it together. You have to put it together more consistently. And in a league where games tend to be decided by one goal or one goal and an empty netter most nights, that's going to be the difference between winning and losing. You know, and also the timeliness of the goaltending that you get. You know, for the last month plus, it's mostly been there. And in the game against LA last night, it wasn't there.
Yeah. And speaking of parity, we talked about this a little while ago. There's only about 8 or 10 points separating top and bottom of this division, and really the only team that's really showing superiority is Tampa Bay in this whole conference. I mean, the rest of it's pretty balanced. So even if you haven't been doing quite that well in the first 30, 35 games, you're not really out of it chasing it, you know, to a degree of where it's almost desperate or hopeless.
That's definitely true, especially when you have all these divisional games coming up, right? Because these are the teams, if you're chasing and you're close with, you're winning those games, and all of a sudden you're jumping ahead of them. You know, the hard part though is if you're chasing with all the 3-point games the teams play, you know, statistically, you know, they a lot of times use Thanksgiving as the line that draw. I think it's more mid-season now, but you know, just to play 500 in your division is not good enough if you're the team that's chasing. That's really the hardest part. But if you can get on a roll and win all those divisional games, you'll be fine.
Last one. Flyers have 4 or 5 rookies in there a night, but they seem to be developing here and maturing, and Robert Hague is a perfect example. Sanheim's making some strides here. What do you see here in the second? We're calling it almost the second half, but after mid-January, it will be the second half. What do you see here coming up for the next half?
I think one of the important things is for the depth of the team. You know, it still is. Your key guys are really your veterans plus Provorov. But I think that in order to have the depth you need to be a playoff team and maybe even make some noise in April, you need the Nolan Patricks and you need the Travis Sanheims, who certainly no question the ability level. And even, you know, even in the season to date, there have been hints of it at times, but they need to do it on more of a game-in and game-out basis. You know, I think they need to take a little bigger bite in the lineup. And you need some of the, you know, the other thing going forward, I think you need some of the depth scoring guys, the Jordan Wheels, you know, the guys where they're coming in, you know, figuring we're going to provide offense on a semi-consistent basis. You need those guys contributing, you know, and if you get that, you'll be fine. If not, you're going to fall short.
There's no one who covers this team with a more scrutinous eye than Bill Meltzer, and we thank you for your time today.
Oh, anytime, Wayne. My pleasure.
All right. Take care. We'll edit that.